Good morning. Welcome to worship. It's good to be together. It's good to connect with all of you who are worshiping via live stream or later in the week, perhaps even. Thank you for connecting and being a part of this service. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm Rockford Johnson. It's a joy to serve as senior pastor in this mission and ministry that we have to bring transformation to the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. The ushers are passing the connection pads. If you'd leave us your name and help other people around you get to know you, that's helpful. We appreciate that. If this is your first time with us, we have cards in the pew racks in front of you, welcome cards, and we would invite you to complete one and leave it with greeters at either door when you exit so that they might give you a gift bag today. They'd probably give you a bag without the card. So we're glad you're here, and welcome. If you have prayer requests, you can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org. On the front page, there's a prayer request button, and we have these cards in front of you. And the back of that card is the Care Ministries section that you can let us know about persons, including yourself, who might need special care. As we gather today, I want you to know that on December 26th, we will have one worship service only. No service in Fenn Hall, no 8:30, only an 11 o'clock a.m. sanctuary service on December 26th. And Sunday school is not scheduled to meet on that day as well. Now, tonight is the Blue Christmas service at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And it's a time when we can look to God to bring consolation around our losses and our struggles and our languishing and whatever else. We all have some loss in our lives. Perhaps you know someone who's struggling at this season of the year, and you could bring them along so that they could find healing and consolation tonight at 7 p.m. And then Christmas Eve, of course, we have four services, 4 p.m. is the family service, and then at 7 p.m. we have modern service in Fenn Hall, and simultaneously have a service in here in the sanctuary. That service will be live streamed, and so if you're not able to be here, you can connect with us through live stream on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m. Also, and the modern service will also be live streamed at the same time, so invite those people who are in other states and other countries to join us on Christmas Eve. Today, we continue the series, He Will Bring Us Goodness and Light, and we focus today on Jesus arriving as the living Word of God with an appeal to people everywhere to listen to what He says. Would you stand to sing our first hymn, number 221, In the Bleak Midwinter?
Thank you. I wander as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor ornery people like you and like I wander as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. But high from God's heaven a star's light did fall. And the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the King. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wonder out under the sky.
It is good to be in worship together this morning. What a joy it is. Let us join our hearts and our minds and our souls together in a time of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we stand in wonder this morning. Wonder at the miraculous ways in which you work each and every day. And as we quickly move towards that Christmas morning, where we once again have the opportunity to welcome the Christ child not only into our lives but back into the world, we pray, O God, that you will bring us a sense of peace. For we know in the midst of the joy and the wonder and the hope and the excitement of this season, there is still darkness. Darkness that some of us feel, darkness around our world. Individuals who hope for a change, hope for a different life. May we each today hear the call from you to us, that we can serve as your ambassadors of peace and light where there is darkness, a place of joy and hope where people feel hopeless, and that we can share the excitement of this season, for we know the coming of the Christ child is one event that can transform our lives and can transform the world. Hear our prayers this morning, O God. Hear our prayers for hope. Hear our prayers for healing. We ask, O God, that we can continue as a church and as individuals to be a place of light. Not only light in this building and wherever it is that we find ourselves this morning, but light into the world wherever it is that we go, that we can share that light and that peace and that hope. Help us to open our hearts to receiving the Christ child again. Help it to be newness as a child wonders with excitement on Christmas morning. And today, oh God, we once again have the opportunity to worship you. Wherever it is that we find ourselves, we join together with those who have gone before us and those who have yet to come, who join together using the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 431, Let There Be Peace on Earth, 431.
I often wonder what peace looks like. And when I think about the many ministries of this church, from the ways that we serve those who are in need in our community and around the world, the way that we are raising up the next generation of church leaders, the way that we share and a piece of hope in a time of somebody's need, we do that when we give to the ministries of this church. And as we enter into this time of offering, let me say thank you once again to the many ways that we are able to tangibly share peace with people around the world. You may be seated.
Thank you.
You may be seated. One of my favorite Christmas songs, our theme this year, thank you to the choir. Every time it comes up on the radio, I just turn up the radio. Maybe could you guys just ride with me and we can sing in the back seat as I drive? Sure. Our scripture reading today comes from John chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Hear now these words. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that you will speak to us as we listen, that you will nurture our understanding of all that you're about in our world and in our lives. And so we open ourselves to the Spirit in our thinking and even through our feelings, that today we might hear the word and find the words that go home with us for the advance of the mission of Jesus, for our lives and our families, for our world. We come listening. Amen. Said the king to the people everywhere, "Listen to what I say." We just heard that in the song. It's the beginning of the fourth stanza of that popular Christmas song. And last week, I noted that when the shepherd boy in that song went to the imaginary mighty king, all warm and well in his grand palace, that the king was insulated from the reality of a child shivering in the cold. But stanza four reveals that the king actually listened to the shepherd boy, had a change of heart. You could imagine a bit of the Grinch here, I suppose. And now he wants everyone to hear what he has heard. But in the biblical record, the announcement comes not from a king, but from common shepherds, a rogue prophet crying in the wilderness, and Mary, a young peasant mother. All of them announcing, as the Gospel of John puts it, that the living Word of God has appeared. Theologian Robert Jensen has said that God is a talkative God. Throughout the Scriptures, God often shows up talking, speaking, messaging, sharing a significant word. And this word comes to full volume and strength in the sayings, the speeches, the sermons, the conversations of Jesus. God's self-revealing message has come uniquely in the humanity of Jesus. So as we make our way through the description of the arrival of Jesus, the word from God, here in the fourth gospel, we come to that statement we heard. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart. It is this one who has made God known. The meaning is that Jesus is the prime interpreter of how God interacts with people everywhere. Out of a relationship and experience tethered to the heart of God like an umbilical cord ties a child in the womb to the life of the mother, Jesus is the one who comes as the talkative Son of God. He is the one who rightly says to people everywhere, "Listen to what I say." Jesus lives on the pages of the Gospels as the sacred and eternally significant communicator of salvation. He is the prime theologian, the interpreter of God's way and will and work in and for the world. His ability to talk convincingly and with clarity about God comes from the belief we have that as the Word of God, Jesus arrives having been with God, so close as to feel the eternal heartbeat of God, so near as to soak up the brilliance of God's wisdom, thoughts, and desires, so intimate with the source of all that exists that he knows how much God so loves the world of people everywhere. John's message is that God has carried the living Word of God in God's heart, and that Jesus then carries and reveals the heart of God as he tells stories, teaches, preaches, and talks through the pages of the Gospels. On September the 13th of 2014, on a beautiful autumn evening and nestled in the southeastern Oklahoma piney woods of Beaver's Bend, I walked our daughter Kate down an aisle of fallen leaves to her beloved Randy and took my place to perform the wedding. They had written their vows, and I had prepared a short sermon about the extravagant love of God from the story of Jesus at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And I had written an original poem for them that they actually liked. I was filled with joy for her and for them, but there was a part of the service that really tested my composure. That young lady had asked me to read a poem by E.E. Cummings. My little one that I had met at the moment of her birth in all of her messy, beautiful, crying glory, the tiny darling that I could rock to sleep cradled between my hand and my elbow on one arm, that little girl that danced and laughed with me singing Jingle Bell Rock with her petite feet on top of mine in the living room, the little girl to whom at bedtime, night after night, I sang, I love you, Katie, oh yes I do, I love you, Katie, I really do, to the tune of We Love You, Conrad from Bye Bye Birdie. The girl that I drove miles and miles to ballet and watched her dance the part of Clara in The Nutcracker, that grown-up little one whose heart I had carried in my heart for 29 years, with all her intelligence and creativity and beauty and heart, dared to ask me to read Cummings' poem, I Carry You in My Heart, at her wedding, as an affirmation that the two of them would now carry each other in their hearts, and I did. I took a deep breath, and I read, I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Here is the deepest secret nobody knows. And this is the wonder that keeps the stars apart. I carry your heart. I carry it in my heart. Jesus, the one close to the heart of God, the Word of God in human expression, arrives carrying the heart of God into the world for people everywhere. Jesus comes speaking and talkative. In the fifth chapter of John, we hear Jesus voice words that are tantamount to saying, listen to what I say, in triplicate. Speaking of himself as Son and God as Father, he says, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And very truly, I tell you, he says a third time, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Jesus arrives with language that reveals another dimension of God's love and faithfulness, of God's holiness and desire. And the question is not, can we hear it? It's not, can we read it? But will we listen? Can we open ourselves to learning a heart language and a message designed to liberate us from the errors and violations that so easily grip us and stumble us to the floor? John's gospel tells us that in Jesus comes a full understanding that is gift upon gift upon gift. As he says, grace upon grace. An invitation to living beyond religious legalities. Grace is a higher dimension of love, and Jesus came talking and announcing that God loves the world with a self-sacrificing love that critiques and even condemns our self-insulating self-love. A love from God that's beyond compare, and to some degree, even beyond comprehension. We live in a time and a culture wherein much of the language is that of economics. We work to get a win-win. We do things to buy more time, and we budget how we will spend our time. We judge our worth by production, gain, and the bottom line. We accelerate not only the speed of our cars between obligations, but also the speed at which we eat and talk and listen. We speak of being nimble and quick so as not to burn the seat of our pants darting over and among the variety of fires that we have to put out. Economics and the flow of money and compensation and goods, these are necessary and not evil. But it can take root in us like an invasive vine and rob us of the rich, transcendent experiences of the holy and the sublime. Those things that our heart craves and that we need. Every generation needs for their own lives and for the world of others to learn to understand what God is saying about this love, to understand what God is saying through this talkative Son of God, to grasp what it means that God carries the world in God's heart, carries your heart in God's heart. We need to learn the heart language of God. In the 2016 movie Arrival, 12 alien spaceships show up around the globe in different locations, and they simply hover near the ground. The aliens invite visitors inside the ships where they find 2 7-limbed creatures, heptapods, who are looking something like large squid behind a glass wall. They have hands like starfish. They communicate by projecting some kind of smoky, inky substance from their starfish-like hands that quickly forms into circular symbols, what amounts to their writing. And one of the ships is in Montana, and the American military brings in expert linguist Louise Banks and physicist Ian Donnelly to learn the language. The same kind of thing is happening at the other 11 locations. Some people are scared. Others are fascinated by the unknown. Eventually, one of the phrases they learn as they learn the language is, quote, offer weapon. But comparing notes around the world, they're not sure exactly what that means. Are the heptapods offering a weapon as a gift? Is the meaning not weapon, but tool or instrument? Eventually, China decides the aliens mean to be hostile and prepare to take action to eliminate them. And after other suspenseful moments that jeopardize the project, Banks and Donnelly discover that the symbol for time is prevalent in many of these circular symbols. They also discover that the aliens are only giving them 1/12 of the message, and they have to work together with others to put the whole message together. And finally, Banks realizes that the so-called weapon they offer is their language, a language that once fully learned allows humans to experience another dimension of space and time. The visitors to Earth can see past, present, and future all at the same time. They are inviting the world of human population to understand reality in a new dimension. To the people everywhere, they are messaging a way to avoid disaster and destruction if the world will listen to what they say. The arrival of Jesus as the interpreter of God is an offer of an understanding of God meant to save us, liberate us, and make us friends with God. At this time of year, the message and the messaging of Advent is an offer for us to learn to listen for the priorities of God, to listen through the Christmas stories, stories that are too easily romanticized for our personal priorities and co-opted by commerce and consumer priorities. We're invited to listen for a deeper dimension. You know, corporate retailers know that when they play a Muzak version of the old familiar carols, shoppers become more likely to buy and buy more than we would otherwise. Celebrity singers with no particular faith or conviction record heavily theological Christmas carols because there's a huge market for that. People of no faith, adult children who are done with faith, even some anti-faith persons hum or sing along at parties and while shopping and driving, not knowing really what they're saying when they sing, "Mild he lays his glory by," or "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity," or "Comes to make his blessings known far as the curse is found." Advertising firms make secular use of "Joy to the World" and other hymns of faith so they can arrest attention by evoking feelings and images of comfort and joy. Skeptics and believers alike sing the old carols with language often not fully understood about shepherds and angels and sheep and some wise, worshipful Eastern astrologers, a mighty king, and a birth in a cow stall. But not so well known or often sung is the Song of Mary, called the Magnificat, in the Greek Orthodox Church called the Ode of the Theotokos, the Song of the Bearer of God. Mary's song is poetry like the ancient Hebrew prophets. It's language from the heart of God, a good news message that God desires to reset priorities. Let's hear Mary's song.
"My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever."
So we hear in Mary's song the language of a reset, a challenge to our priorities, an invitation for us to listen to what God is saying through the scripture stories of Jesus from crib to cross. We hear some of God's clear other dimension priorities. Rather than handing out more to those who have more than we need, God desires to fill those who are lacking and hungry and wanting the very good things that they need. Rather than add to the prestige and the power of the proud, God desires to strengthen those who need help. God desires to intervene to remedy oppression, poverty, and spiritual blindness. God wants to redeem people from suffering and sin in every generation. So when Charlie Brown cries out, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" Linus could drag his blanket out onto that stage and just as rightly recite Mary's song. Her message is also God's message from another dimension, applied to real people in real places. We should listen to what she says. So here's something to try this season during your Christmas gatherings, perhaps. Plan some intentional, deep listening as part of your experience with your family, your friends, others. Take a few minutes first to read the biblical stories. It only takes a few minutes. And then in a family gift exchange, perhaps, ask how either giving or receiving this gift, that gift, the other gift, might connect with the birth stories of Jesus. Or ask each other what your favorite Christ-centered Christmas carol is and why. It's likely someone will say, "Well, I love the melody," or "It makes me feel good," or "It connects with my childhood." And so you could have copies of the lyrics of some of those carols to read or sing, and then listen a little more deeply to the words of the song, and then ask, what is it in the lyrics that has resonance or meaning for us, for me, or raises a question? And then listen to each other. Or use the nativity set that you have on display and ask children and adults to both position and move those characters around as you read first Luke 2, 1 to 20, and then Matthew 1, 18 through 2, 12. Again, it doesn't take long. Do one at a time so that you can hear and see the uniqueness of Luke's narrative and Matthew's script. And then talk about the meaning, the questions, the insights that surface from that experience, that engagement. Finish then with a reading of John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. That's been our text for this time of Advent. Listen to what the Spirit says through the Scriptures. Through such informed conversation with your family and your friends, listen for the heart of God's message for you and for people everywhere. It will bring you goodness and light. Let us pray. It is our desire, O God, to listen, to hear, to understand the great mystery and the deep meaning and the accessible action of the message of the arrival of the Word of God. And so we open ourselves to you and invite you deep into our lives as we listen. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. Stand with me to sing number 238, 238, "Angels We Have Heard on High." And now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.